I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Today on The Grave Talks, Letting Glow, A Guide to Intuition, Spirituality, and Living Consciously, a new book by Phil Webster. So when you read the book, there's these meditations throughout the book. And one thing I would suggest is that you record those so people, you can read them to people and people could put on their headphones and listen to you.
I need to get on that.
I think that would be awesome. Because as I'm reading the book, I'm like, I need someone to read this to me. He's British.
Yeah.
I bet he could really read these very well.
No, yeah, I need to get on it. This is just me procrastinating. And I'm kind of like, you know, since the book's come out, it's all the publishers are talking to me about sales constantly. And it's kind of taken away from what I really wanted to convey in the first place. And all of a sudden it's turned into this whole sales thing and, you know, how to monetize it. And it's like, oh, I'm really not good with that stuff. Yeah. But yeah, it would be nice. I do plan to definitely sort of make some recordings and put them on my website and things like that.
I think it's a really good idea. You have a beautiful voice and I think you can read them in such a way that maybe I could meditate. I've always had a problem with that. I find it very difficult to shut my brain off. My brain, I don't know. Sometimes I think it's a certain age woman. Like our brains never stop. It's just,
yeah, no,
they're constantly,
it is.
I swear at night, you know, and it's not just women, but you tend to find something to worry about. It's like your brain is like, well, I'll find you something to worry about. If you want to worry about something, we'll just keep on spinning.
Yeah. And one thing that I always talk about is, you know, we're going to get distracted, right? So it doesn't necessarily have to be such a sort of focus to be like, okay, I need to keep a clear mind and all this. I think just bringing your attention back to your breath every time your brain wanders, and it will. And then with time, you know, what I found to be really, really useful is just to, you know, be able to step back from your thoughts and sort of recognize that you're not your thoughts. You're the one observing your thoughts. And then that kind of brings in the whole idea of us having or being consciousness. And then, you know, and that's also, again, what I found very useful with learning about mediumship. Because sort of when you can separate yourself from this constant train of thoughts that are going on and you're back here, and then when something else comes in, then you're like, oh, that's not me, you know.
Because the thoughts are coming out of my own head and I'm the only one hearing them, I assume those are my thoughts. That's me talking to me.
Yeah.
But really, it's kind of like we have multiple personalities in our brains that are constantly like, you're not good enough, you're not this. you know, you've got this. Yeah. No, you don't. There's these 2, 3, 10 different things going on at the same time all the time. And when you it's said crazy. You're not your thoughts, I'm like, I've never really thought about it like that. I am my thoughts. They're in my head, right?
Yeah. No, it is nuts. It's such a tricky one, you know, and it's nonstop. It's just nonstop. Like, while we're talking now, there's just, again, 20 things going on through my head. Or you step outside and you see somebody wearing like a blue jacket, and then that reminds you of a blue jacket that you had in high school or something. And then you have this whole other narrative going on in the background while you're trying to get on with what you're doing, you know, but you're thinking about that kid in high school that was an idiot or you know, and there's just all these things are coming at us like all the time, you know. I recently moved to London in, well, 2017, it's moving on a bit now. You know, this place is just, there's people everywhere, you know, and it's just constant distractions all the time. And it's kind of funny that I've like really found somewhat peace through meditation in probably, you know, one of the most busiest cities in the world. But yeah, maybe it's necessary, I suppose.
Now, at some point, you became interested in, I don't know which came first, if you were interested in becoming a medium or you were more interested in connecting with your mother.
Yeah. I mean, it was from that, really. So I just started working on this, and this is kind of, I don't know if there's any point. I've just told this story so many times, it seems natural to tell it. I was working on this movie, Doctor Strange, one of those big Marvel superhero things and that kind of thing. And I really... just as I sort of didn't speak to anyone for 2 months on this movie, and I'd started on it 2 days after my mom had passed, but I'd been waiting to work on it for months, you know. There'd been no work through COVID and all that stuff, and this was like a good 4 months of work, and I thought, well, I'm just gonna do it and just sort of throw myself into it. But I didn't speak to anybody for about 2 months on the set, because I was just going through it, you know. I was just crying all the time and just trying to read books that would help, and It was a strange experience because it was still somewhat COVID rules, so everybody was separated and things like that. But I was talking to a girl on set. I think she was like probably late 20s, something like that. And I told her that story about what happened around my mum passing. And she said, well, have you asked for a sign? And I thought, well, I kind of thought about it, because this, you know, the whole thing about the phone call was leading me down this sort of esoteric path. And I was reading books that I'd read in the past that had helped, like Neil Donald Walsh and sort of, you know, standard kind of books on the bigger picture. Anyway, I thought, all right, sure, let's do this. Let's ask for a sign for my mum. And I just moved into a new apartment with my fiance. And I was putting away Blu-rays, like a stack of Blu-rays, like they're kind of obsolete now, but I had a big box full of them, and I thought, well, while I do this, I was like, oh yeah, okay, mom, if you're around, give me a sign, right? And this was probably 2 months at this point after she'd passed, and then I put all these Blu-rays away, and I had all these superhero movies, these Marvel films, and then I noticed that the one movie that was missing that I had was Doctor Strange, right? So that was the movie to the sequel. I was working on the sequel to that movie at the time. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. Like, out of all of them, right, that's the one that's missing. Right. And anyway, I didn't really attribute it at that point to the asking for a sign thing. And I continued putting them away. I was tidying the flat. And then later on in the day, I found this Blu-ray, and it was sitting on top of a pile of books the other side of the room. And the book underneath was poking out a little bit, and the author's name was poking out, and it said Maureen, which was my mum's name. And then the book below that, part of the title was poking out, and it said Living. So I got Doctor Strange, Maureen, and Living somewhere around an hour after I'd asked for a sign. And I thought, I don't know, maybe I could take it, I guess. but then things started to come thick and fast. I read a book by a medium called Claire Broad. And again, in hindsight, these things sort of make sense. And the book could have been from anywhere. Claire could have been from anywhere in the world. I didn't know if she was English or Australian or American or what. And the first page of the book, the story that she told, took place across the street from where I was living, in the cemetery. And I thought, well, what a strange coincidence, you know. I read her book about mediumship, and then a little while later, I was walking down the road, and I stumbled across this spiritualist church, which we have many of in the UK, and especially in London. And I saw there was a demonstration of mediumship, and I thought, all right, I'm going to go along to this and see what happens. And yeah, the lady there, she just, by the time she got to me, I was already convinced, you know, she'd got like 90% sort of success rate. Everybody was agreeing. Everybody was like, yeah, I can take that. I recognize that. I know who you're talking about, all that stuff. And then she came to me and then she started talking about a young man. And I was like, okay, well, what's this? You know, I was there hoping to hear from my mom. And she kept talking about this young man, and he was saying that I was going to be this voice for spirit and all these things. And I was like, okay, well, that's kind of interesting too, because I just started looking into mediumship myself and hadn't told anyone about it. And eventually the penny dropped, like who he was. And I remembered that, you know, a friend of mine had passed when he was about 20 and I was about 17. And then everything she'd said had made perfect sense. I was like, okay, yeah, that I know who that is. And just at the end of that, she said, oh, I've also got a lady here with me that's recently passed. And I was like, oh, okay. And my, you know, heart skipped a beat and I kind of got a lump in my throat. And the the game changer really was that the medium's accent changed. So she had a very Cockney accent, you know, like a London accent. And then as she started speaking with this very Midlands accent, which is where my mum was from. And it was my mom's voice, essentially. Wow. The words that she used, I was just like, and it was very short. It was just, she kind of just described what happened around her passing. And then, you know, that she's with me and all those kind of things. But that was really, yeah, the game changer for me. Just the fact that her accent changed. This person had never seen me before in my life. She didn't know any of my history. And that was it. That was another sort of life-changing experience. So yeah, that really sent me down this rabbit hole of looking into mediumship.
So it's not like you did that and now, look, you're a medium. It's a work in progress all the time. But
definitely.
How do you know, or do you know, when a message is coming through to you?
Yeah, and I'll blame the book again for this. So again, ironically, the book's sort of taking my attention away from learning about mediumship, just around all the, you know, talking on with interviews and all the rest of it, and sort of got busy with that. But yeah, for the first 2 years, I joined a mediumship circle, like a development circle. And essentially, we'll sort of take the time to open up, open the chakras and sort of meditate a little while and sort of make ourselves receptive to this, to the work we're about to do. And you'll practice with each other in this environment. And the first couple of times I did it, I just remember just saying some off the wall things that to me sounded nuts, you know, that I would imagine it like the first few times I sort of got a message. I was imagining like and it's different for everybody. Everyone has their own sort of way of going about it. But I was imagining like a clear screen, you know, like a cinema screen or a sort of whiteboard. And I was like, okay, bring my guides in. And I was sitting in front of a lady, so I was going to give her evidence of something that only she could know. And I didn't know the lady. It's the first time I'd met her. She joined the circle that night. Actually, she'd been a member before, but I'd never met her. And I was like, okay, give me something. And on this screen, I saw a baby orangutan, which was like the most random thing ever, you know. And I was like, well, that's stupid. I'm not going to say that, you know. So I was like, okay, let's just wipe that away. And I kind of just imagined myself sort of wiping it clean. And I was like, okay, give me something better than that, you know. And again, baby orangutan. I was like, okay, well, and I don't know. And there was more to it than that, but just to sort of cut the story short, I said to the lady, I was like, okay, does a baby orangutan mean anything to you? And she was like, oh, yeah, you know. And I was like, really? And she was like, yeah, so this lady is from London. And she said that her daughter worked in an orangutan sanctuary in California. And I'd also had something come through from my dad. And she was just like, look, I take that as my dad's keeping an eye on my daughter in California, you know. And it was just so off the wall that I was like, I would never have come up with that, you know.
Well, and of all things for her daughter to do, like the fact that she would actually have a connection.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know she had a daughter either. You know, it was just so weird and specific, but so random at the same time. And she confirmed it all, you know. And that seems to be the way it works, you know, just sort of the first thing that comes in, you know, we have these moments of intuition, not even just through mediumship, but just through the day of just kind of going with that first thing, you know, your first reaction or all of that kind of stuff, you know, rather than overthinking everything, which we which we tend to do. And if I'd have overthought that, then I would have just come up with something else and, you know, been like, oh, I don't know, have you got a gold watch or so, you know what I mean? Which I've done, you know, and just sort of just made stuff up. And I found that it's really the first thing that comes through, just to just go with that.
What do you feel about spirit guides? Do you feel that everyone has a guide, a connection to one, we just don't realize it?
Yeah, I believe that we do. I've definitely, and again, just sort of full disclosure, like the first 2 years for me was amazing. Like I was just getting sort of like hit after hit. I was recognizing signs from spirit. I was, you know, I was on fire with this. This last year, I've been struggling a little bit, I must admit, to sort of connect. And then I'm not walking around calling myself a medium. I'm definitely a developer medium. And, you know, I've had people email me since reading the book and asking for a reading. And I'm like, okay, I don't feel that I'm at that stage. Yeah, I don't feel, you know, I could maybe give somebody a couple of this or that, a baby orangutan or whatever. but I don't feel that I've got, you know, I feel like I've got a way to go still. But yeah, spirit guides, I do believe that everybody has them. Yeah. And I'm still sort of figuring out what it's about. You know, it seems like everyone and the grandmother's got like a indigenous shaman as a spirit guide or something. But and that seems to be the case with me too. But I wonder if they present themselves in something that sort of is meaningful to us at the time. I don't think that, you know, if you see it. Yeah, you know, if you see like a Buddhist monk or I don't think it's necessarily a Buddhist monk. It might just be the way that they're presenting themselves to you, because that's what would resonate with you. And you know, you would treat that as an authority figure, perhaps. So, yeah, I'm still learning about it. I've met a couple of mine, but yeah, they've been quiet for a while now. So I'm kind of ready to get back to it.
I did write this down from the book because I think that a lot of people are thinking spirit guide, you know, like what you just mentioned, they're going to see something or they're going to have this life-changing experience. But you said, some may refer to their input as intuition, that gut feeling which guides us in uncertain situations. Because you said sometimes their voice is loud and clear, others it's a gentle tug to steer us towards a better version of the future. And that really resonated with me because I think most of us have intuition. We all have it to a degree. And if you listen to that intuition, that could be a message from your spirit.
Absolutely. And I'm sort of going to say something I've said quite a lot, which makes a lot of, which I found is like a sort of useful way to look at it. But yeah, and in terms of spirit guides, you know, whatever works for you, if you want to call it your higher self or intuition, I mean, it's all sort of entwined, I think. And we all have these, you know, terms that we use that we can, you know, walk into a room and cut the air with a knife, or we have a gut feeling, or we can't quite put our finger on something, or this or that. But what's to say that that's, you know, as soon as you start using words like clairsentience or clairaudience, then people sort of dismiss it. But we're talking about the same thing, I think, right? We're just using different terms for it. You know, getting a feeling or sensation or suddenly hearing a voice, even, you know, to you know, sort of take it to another extreme. I think we're just talking about intuition, or what we would sort of call in daily life intuition. Yeah. And I feel that the trick is to really go with it. But I also think there's a very fine line between intuition and instinct, right? So it's kind of, you've got to sort of be careful and sort of try to find the better, you know, the clearer truth there, you know. Going with your instinct isn't necessarily always the best thing to do. And I think, again, that's where meditation comes in. And when you sort of practice it, then you can start to recognize what's what, you know, what's your intuition and what's just you acting on impulse.
And I think if someone was to read the book, you know, they think, oh, I don't have any of those abilities, I'm not that way. I think that you can see that that you can bring that into your life. Now, there are people who just aren't interested in that. And that's not the path they're on in this world. But I think a lot of people listening to this, obviously, we believe there's something bigger out there. So to me, it just gave me a lot of things to think about.
No, thank you. I mean, what I would like to hope for it is that, you know, there's a lot going on in it. And I feel that The lady that I mentioned earlier, that she was like, I'm not sure if the title of it sort of like really describes what it's about. But my hope is that, you know, there's a little bit of, I pour my grief into it. So hopefully that if someone's going through a grieving process, that it would maybe help them with that. Also, if someone's having like a very profound or scary spiritual awakening, it would help them with that. And or someone that's just got kind of a casual interest. I feel that all I've done is just document my journey and what worked for me. And I also believe that, you know, at the start of the book, I was kind of trying to look at it from both sides of the coin. I was like a little bit more skeptical. But by the end of it, I was like, okay, no, this is a real thing, you know. So I feel that if you follow the steps and the books and the meditations, then you know, it'll possibly work for you too.
I thought it was very beautiful that the book begins with your mother and it ends 1 year to the day when you finished writing it from her death.
Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out. No one's actually mentioned that. And to me, that was a huge thing. That was so weird to me, you know. Well, it was just so strange and it wasn't planned. You know, I would go sometimes, I wouldn't touch the book for like a month. I wouldn't write a word. Or then I'd just be writing nonstop for like 2 weeks or something. And then I just kind of got this sense, like, I think it was right at the start of it. And I mentioned it right at the start of the book, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, anybody could say that and then go back and stick the date in there or something. But I really believe that I got the date when I was going to finish it. And it was 1 year to the day that she passed. And I just felt, okay, yeah, here's the ending. And I was done. And but something very similar happened with the second book that I wrote. And yeah, around dates and stuff like that was really odd. Anyway, just for what it's worth, that book comes out next February.
Well, then we'll have to have another conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I believe that there should be a third book, but I'm still waiting to, you know, for that to show up.
See, I just think that your mom had a hand in all of it.
No, I believe so. Yeah. I feel that, you know, everyone's got to go through it at their own pace. I was making a video the other day just about it. You know, like, people will tell you to sort of move on when they think it's, you know, that they've been listening to you talk about it enough. And you can't. You've just got to do what feels right for you. And I feel that the writing the book over the course of a year possibly helped accelerate my healing process a little bit. But I think the first 2 years were really rough. I'm getting to the third year mark now, and it's such a strange one, right? Because we know that we're probably going to lose our parents in our lifetime. I can't imagine what it's like to lose a child or a spouse, but yeah, losing my mom was just, I wasn't prepared for it. You know, I thought, mm-hmm, I was, but it just knocked me sideways.
Yeah.
You know, I'm definitely no expert in it or therapist, but I feel that, you know, you just sort of start getting used to it and you sort of mold yourself around it, or it molds itself around you, or something like that. And, you know, the world isn't the same place. It's definitely lost its shine to what it was.
Right.
But, you know, what can you do but go forward, you know? I spoke to a friend the other day. He lost both of his parents around the same time that I lost my mom. And he said that he feels kind of fearless now because, you know, they went first, like they went into whatever is next. And he kind of he's let go of his fear of death. And he used to be afraid of flying and stuff like that. And he said that that's gone now, you know,
because it's like, well,
if they can do it, you know, then what do I have to worry about?
I love that.
Yeah, I just try to leave on a more uplifting thing than,
yeah,
her,
I love
than what
that.
I was saying before.
Now, the book, Letting Glow, you can buy that on Amazon. You could download it. Probably any place you buy books, you can get the book.
Yep. Yeah, it's available everywhere.
You have a website as well, correct?
Yep. Yeah, it's still sort of in its early stages. It's philwebster.com. It's Phil with two L's. I'm trying to set up a couple of interactive things on there. Like, I've sort of put an accompanying course which bridges the gap between books one and two. And then I'm thinking about setting up like maybe a Zoom circle that we could, you know, I could come together with like-minded people every couple of weeks and sort of hold each other accountable to, you know, sort of developing as, dare I say, modern mystics. Yeah,
but I like that.
That's still sort of, yeah, thanks. I just got to get this TV show thing out of the way. And then, yeah, I would like to really get on with that.
Oh, your life. I got to get this TV show out of the way.
Oh, that's weird. It's just taken all my attention. All of a sudden, right. It just came out of the blue. And
well,
now
that's why you haven't been meditating. It's because you got so much going on.
All of a sudden, I remembered I got this script to learn. Yeah.
Exactly. And,
it's quite daunting. Yeah.
Well, I just want to say a huge thank you. I really enjoyed the book. It gave me lots of things to think about. And just thank you very much for taking the time to do this with me today.
Well, thank you for all the feedback. It's been really interesting to hear. And especially, you know, that you actually read it. I feel, you know, sometimes people talk to me about it and they just sort of go on the notes. And no, I really appreciate your feedback on it. Yeah.
And that wraps up our conversation with Phil Webster. You can buy his debut book, Letting Glow, A Guide to Intuition, Spirituality, and Living Consciously on Amazon or wherever you buy books. You can also visit his website at philwebster.com. That's Phil spelled with two L's. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. You can sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.